This is part four of the story of humanity. Shortly after entering the city of Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. He said to them there, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then he healed some of the people there that were blind and lame. When the chief priests and scribes saw what he did, they were indignant. The next day, Jesus went into the temple again to teach. He taught the people there that the Son of Man will come again in glory with his angels and separate those that followed the commandments of God from those that did not. He promised that the righteous would inherit the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus was confronted by the chief priests and elders who asked, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" He did not answer them directly, but instead, he confounded them with a different question about John the Baptist. Jesus continued to publicly humiliate the Jewish leaders there, pointing out their hypocrisy, abuse of their authority, and flawed understanding of Scripture. The Jewish leaders did not try to seize him because they feared the people, so instead, they resorted to scheming in private for a way to destroy him. Now, Judas had entered Jerusalem along with Jesus and the other disciples. Satan had been working on Judas after discovering his love of money. Judas succumbed to Satan's counsel and approached the chief priests of the temple and asked what they would give him if he were to betray Jesus to them. They gave him 30 pieces of silver, and so from that time, Judas looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Then Jesus gathered his disciples to keep the Passover in a private room in the city. There he declared that one of them would betray him. Then Judas, knowing Jesus spoke of him, asked Jesus, "Is it I?" Jesus said to him, "You have said it." Jesus then told him to go and do it quickly, and so Judas left them. Then, during the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Just as when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, he prepared a way for spiritual rebirth in baptism through water and the Holy Spirit, so again here, Jesus prepared spiritual food for the humans that when they ate it, it would bring, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the remission of sins, the protection of soul and body, and life everlasting. Then, Jesus, knowing the time of his betrayal was near at hand, took his disciples at night to a garden he knew to prepare for what was to come. He prayed to the Father for the strength to do his will. It was there that Judas brought a group of men with swords and clubs from the chief priests to arrest Jesus. Jesus went peacefully with them, and they took him to the high priest and to the other Jewish religious leaders. They tried to find some testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but could not find any reliable witness accounts, so they finally asked him directly if he was the Christ. Jesus replied, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." This was enough for them to sentence Jesus to death for blasphemy because the language Jesus used in his reply equated himself to God. However, since the Romans were in power and forbade the religious leaders from carrying out a death sentence, they turned Jesus over to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Judas, seeing Jesus condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. Now, Pilate did not want to sentence Jesus to death for a religious matter and sought to release him, but the religious leaders stirred up the people to the point where they might start a riot. Whereas a week before, the people were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," now the people shouted, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate turned over Jesus to his soldiers, who mocked him, spit on him, struck him, and led him outside the city gates to be crucified. There, they lifted Jesus up on a cross between two thieves. The soldiers cast lots for his clothes, fulfilling the words spoken by a prophet of old. Those who passed by mocked Jesus, saying, "He saved others, but cannot save himself." Then, after suffering a relatively short time, Jesus died on the cross. Then the sky darkened, the earth quaked, and rocks were split apart. The veil of the Jewish temple was split in two from top to bottom. The centurion and others there were afraid and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Jesus' mother, Mary, and other women disciples watched from a distance and mourned. In the evening that day, a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was a disciple of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked to bury the body of Jesus before the Sabbath. Pilate learned from his centurion that Jesus was already dead and commanded the body be given to Joseph. Joseph wrapped the body in a clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb. Some of the women disciples went with Joseph and saw where Jesus was buried. Now Jesus, who as the Son of God created the heavens and the earth, and who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born as a human child, he came into the world for this very purpose. Satan had succeeded in manipulating the humans to kill their Savior, but in doing so, Satan unwittingly brought the light into the darkness of Hades and set the giver of life over the souls he had tyrannized through spiritual death. Jesus could have evaded these plots of Satan, but he did not wish to. Rather, Jesus underwent all of it for the sake of the humans he loved. Had Jesus not been human, it would not have been possible for him to suffer. And had he not been God and remained immune to harm in his divinity, he could not have suffered death in the flesh for our sake. Jesus patiently endured for our sake a death he was not obliged to undergo to redeem us who were obliged to suffer death from the servitude of Satan and death of the soul and body. Jesus, in his descent into Hades on the Sabbath day, with his living spirit, appeared free among the dead and radiated divine light. He preached his saving message to those in Hades. He possessed life-giving power, and to those who chose to believe in him there, he restored their deadened souls to life again by reuniting them with him. He opened the intelligible realm and paradise again to those who believed, lifting out the enlivened souls of Adam and Eve and all others who believed into his heavenly kingdom. After observing the Sabbath, the women disciples went to the tomb in the early morning the next day to anoint the body of Jesus, because it was not yet properly anointed due to the haste of the burial. As they went, they discussed among themselves who would roll away the heavy stone. But as they arrived, they found the stone already rolled away. There they found an angel who told them that Jesus was risen from the dead and that they should go and tell the other disciples. They immediately went and told them, and so Peter and John quickly came to the tomb and found it empty, with only the grave clothes laying there. Then Jesus appeared first to some of the women disciples, and then also to the principal 11 remaining disciples. He demonstrated to his disciples by eating some food that he was not just a spirit, that he possessed a real body, albeit a spiritually enhanced body that could appear through closed doors. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus told them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then Jesus took his disciples away from the crowds of the city, and he blessed them. As Jesus did this, the disciples saw Jesus ascend to heaven. In this final act, Jesus ascended to heaven in his resurrected body with a fully restored human nature, having completed everything he set out to do for humanity in his life on earth. Jesus repaired all the cosmic damage caused by our first ancestors' sin that humans could not repair on their own. He restored human nature from corruption to incorruption and provided human nature with the gift of deification. He healed the human's broken relationship with God, teaching them to properly love God through his loving sacrifice on the cross. The tree of life in paradise was revealed as the cross on which hung the giver of life. To all those who believed in him, not just the Jews, he opened the intelligible realm and paradise to the souls who had been held captive in Hades. To those who lived after his saving acts, he gave strength against the adversary, so that those who were willing may overcome him more readily than could all the saints who lived before Jesus Christ's coming. Unlike them, when those who believe now die, their souls will not be brought down to Hades, but enter into the intelligible realm with its delight and pleasure. And while Jesus Christ accomplished these great victories, there remained after his ascension a world still corrupted with sin, decay, and death. Jesus removed the cosmic barriers that were preventing the humans from entering into full communion with God, but the humans continued to struggle against the adversary, against the toils that present themselves in the world still subjected to corruption. Those who chose to follow Jesus Christ and believe in him still needed to make an active choice daily to do so, to take their focus away from things that are worldly and fleshly, and instead focus on things that are intelligible and spiritual. To aid in these trials, God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell directly within the humans who were willing to accept him, so that their souls might be infused with the Holy Spirit and the power to direct the body according to the virtues. And so the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus' disciples in great power, such that those who were present saw something like tongues of flame alight upon each of them, and each heard them speaking in their own language the saving acts of Jesus Christ. And then the disciples began teaching the people as Jesus had commanded them, and baptizing the people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those that were immersed three times in the sanctified water were divinely regenerated, mystically renewed, and born again with their soul enlivened by the Holy Spirit. Then the disciples of Jesus went out into all the known world, teaching, baptizing, and establishing communities of faith, each with their own trustworthy leaders, who were formally elevated as bishops and presbyters, so that the saving message of Jesus Christ and the grace of the Holy Spirit might spread to all nations. Each of those initiated into the faith through baptism received the Holy Spirit, and those who kept God's commandments and lived virtuous lives became members of the body of Christ, the Church, with Jesus Christ as its head. God established the Church so that the saving message of Jesus Christ would be carried through time and throughout the world. And so it was from the time of the original disciples of Jesus Christ that all who lived a life in the Church and according to the commandments of Jesus Christ lived in the hope that when Jesus Christ appears again in glory, they would appear with him. From early on, the clergy and faithful who in their weakness committed sin after their baptism would come before a bishop or presbyter who stood as a representative of Jesus Christ to confess their sins, thereby demonstrating their heartfelt repentance before God and receiving the forgiveness of their sins from God. From early on, each Sunday, the clergy and faithful would celebrate the divine liturgy in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and would receive the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus Christ mystically through an offering of bread and wine, sanctified by the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins and eternal life, just as Jesus had commanded of his disciples before his death and resurrection. All those who came to be called Christians lived their life in the Church and according to the commandments of Jesus Christ, so that they could make real within themselves the saving actions of Jesus Christ, become purified in body and soul, become illuminated by the light and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and become deified by God's grace in communion with God, as God had intended from the beginning. The saints have demonstrated in their lives through the centuries that human beings can and have attained these heights of spiritual perfection. And while the humans live in this age where their souls are resurrected, but their bodies are yet subject to death, they wait the promise made by Jesus Christ and demonstrated in himself of the resurrection of their bodies, made incorruptible and reunited with their purified souls into an eternal kingdom. This age continues until all the humans are born that God foresaw in the beginning, entering into communion with himself. And while only God knows when that time will come, Jesus told them to expect it every day and to be prepared to receive him when he comes in glory. Then, when the time comes, Jesus will come in power with his angels to separate those who demonstrated their choice to commune with him in the light from those who preferred the darkness. He will then recreate the entire cosmos so that it is renewed in perfection. And then, when the earth is a paradise again, completely free of all corruption, he will resurrect all their bodies from their perishable state to an immortal, incorruptible state, reunite them to their souls, and place those who are worthy, based on an account of their life, in the New Jerusalem, the eternal city of God, where they will shine like the sun, together with the angels, being seen by God and bearing as fruit the endless joy that comes from Him.